Hallelujah. He inhabits the praise of His people. If you want Him in your mess, then praise Him, right? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, we praise You. We honor You. We thank You, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Father, I pray right now that every person has already sensed Your presence. You are an awesome God, and we love You. Now, Lord, at this moment and this time, I pray that You'll open our ears so we can hear what the Spirit has to say. I pray, Lord, for every person here that You'll show us something about peace in our homes that we can grasp and go out of here with today. And I ask You to bless us in Jesus' name. Amen. Be seated. Be seated. Casey, sometimes you just have to praise through, don't you, buddy? Amen. Well, there were two parents. There were our parents. And they needed to discipline their little six-year-old daughter, whose name was Cherie. And Cherie had been rebellious and had an attitude, and so she had been disciplined by her parents, and it came dinner time. So as they sat at the table for dinner time, Dad looked at Cherie and said, "Cherie, you need to pray, and while you're praying, I want you just to go ahead and bless the food." So Cherie folded her little hands and bowed her little head, and she said, "Father, thank You for this table that You have set before me in the presence of mine enemies." It gets that way sometimes, doesn't it, with family? Sometimes family seems like they're your enemies and not your family. We spend a lot of time with our family members, and that's the good part. But there are parts about being in a family that's not a fun part. Now, there's good things and bad things. The home situation was the first place that we find the removal of peace. We find a home situation is the first place where there was discord and conflict and finger-pointing. In fact, if you think about it, the home is the first place that the serpent showed up. Now, what we need to hear and what I want you to hear from that is when peace isn't in your home, the serpent is close. We go through life wanting peace in our homes, but it's very difficult to maintain. You remember how that story went. The serpent got into Adam's home and she blamed the snake. Eve blamed the snake and Adam blamed Eve and told God, "It's this woman You gave me. That's the problem." And then it went on from there. The peace was removed even from her childbearing. She had pain in childbirth, and peace was removed from Adam in that he had to work by the sweat of his brow to feed his family. They were excommunicated or evicted from their home. They lost everything. They went on, and of course, Cain and Abel were born, and Cain killed Abel. This is a picture of the first family. The conflict and the lack of peace, removal of peace. The first family was not a pretty picture. It was definitely a home where peace had been removed. See, when people live together, conflict is inevitable. It's inevitable. Family members know a lot about each other, and we know what makes each other tick. And we also know what ticks each other off, right? And a lot of times, the ticking that we hear is a time bomb about to explode. And when it explodes, if not prepared, it will blast apart every bit of peace that you have, every bit of peace that your spouse has, every bit of peace in that home. And everybody scatters because the bomb has exploded and peace is gone. In any normal home situation, conflict is inevitable. And what we do is we try to live in a restricted space together, in a home, in a house. We live in that with people. We eat at the same table. We go on vacations in the same automobile, restricted together in the same car, through states sometimes. You know, we siblings sleep together, and mom and dad sleep together, and this is going on. We use the same commodes. And this is a formula for conflict. And any normal home is going to have it. And when it happens and the explosion takes place, mean things are said, yelling happens, hurt feelings are hurt, and all of these things take place. And, you know, I know no one here does this, but I have heard of holes being poked in walls and in doors and furniture kicked. And I'm not talking about any of you. I'm talking about me. And things get thrown, and I've even heard of worse. So in a home, there's going to be some conflict. I gave some serious thought as to how to bring this lesson. I wanted to bring it. And what I thought I would do is to go find us a good, perfect family in the Bible who always stayed in peace, and then use them as our prototype and our example, and then that would help and minister to the remainder of us. But I had one problem with that. Does anybody know what that problem might be? There's not one in the Bible. Of all the families that are in the Bible and that we're told of, you can study them, and if we're given enough information about them to see, every one of them had times when peace was removed from their homes. So I was forced to approach this lesson from the other perspective. And so what I want to do is look at a very dysfunctional home for a few moments just to make a single point. I'm trying to make one point out of just looking at this home. How many of you have ever studied the home life of King David? Now, this is the guy that's after the man after God's own heart. This is the person who was the king of all of Israel, who was the through the lineage of him came Jesus Christ. This is King David. If you study his home, and you'll just think your home is a mess. When you really look at his home, now that's a home that's in a mess. And so I want to take a real quick abbreviated look at the home of King David for just a few moments to make a point. In 2 Samuel chapter 5 and verse 13, it says this, "And David took him more concubines," and what that means is, "and more wives out of Jerusalem after he was come from Hebron, and there were yet sons and daughters, the only scriptures only tell us about one, but there were daughters born to David. Well, that verse tells us about the complexity of David's home life already. We can already get an idea of wives and children and all of this happening. And in the Bible, in 1 Chronicles chapter 3, verse 1 through 9, now you don't have that. I'm not going to give you a slide on it. So if you're taking notes, make sure you write that one down so you can go back and look at it again. But I read that, and those verses, I found that David had 8 wives. He had 19 sons. Now, the wives are listed. The concubines are not. The children from the wives are listed. There are 19 sons and one daughter from those 8 wives. None of the children are listed from the concubines. God only knows how many children and concubines David had. Now, the Hebrew word for concubine is a word that means paramour, and what that means is an illicit lover. Now, I'm trying to get you a picture of King David's home and what was going on here. He had all of these children and all of these wives living in this house. And there's all this extracurricular stuff going on in David's life. And all of these other children being born all around. And if that were not enough, add to that the Bathsheba incident. That was a national, that was a national scandal. That was going on not only in the home, but also in the community as well. That had to be rough on the wives. But if that alone isn't enough, listen to this. David had a son who raped his sister, David's daughter. And then he had another son who killed the son who raped the sister, who had him killed. Because David wouldn't take care of the situation. Amnon raped Tamar. And so what Absalom done was have Amnon killed. This is in the family. Then a little later, Absalom rebels against David. And Absalom creates this conspiracy to overthrow the king, his father, and to kill him and to take away his kingdom. And then Absalom, while this is going on, is killed by David's commander. Now, all this is happening with David's family and David's close associates, and all this stuff is going on. And even after David dies, Solomon has another brother killed to ensure his throne. Now, this is the home life of David. This is what's going on here. Now, here's the point that I used all that just to share with you about. In Psalms chapter 4, verse 8, it says this. David says this. "I will both lay me down in peace and sleep. For thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety." All that's going on, yet David was able to say, "I can lay down and sleep in peace." I can just imagine what some of you would be doing, flipping around in the bed and tossing and turning and moaning and groaning and grunting. in your situations that you're having right now? What if you had the situations that David had? But yet David says, I can both lay down and sleep in peace. Here's my point. Now get the point. This is the first point you got to understand about peace in the home. Your peace, living in peace, is not dependent upon your home being perfect. If, sir and ma'am, if you wait to have peace because your home is perfect, you'll never have peace. There's always going to be something going on. What you've got to understand, though, is that if you'll trust the Lord and do what the Scriptures say, you can have a home that has peace most of the time. Because I'm well aware, I understand that you can be going through a very difficult time. You can be going through a hell on earth and at the same time be in total peace. I understand that. I understand that David could both lay down and sleep in peace, but nobody else in the house was laying down and sleeping in peace. Right? Everybody else is going crazy because David has all this stuff going on. Yeah, David's over there snoring, but everybody else is going bonkers because of things that David has done. Now, what I'm trying to show us there is I don't really think that's the kind of peace that we want in our homes. I'm talking about a home with peace in it. A home that has peace most of the time. Yeah, there's going to be some times when the serpent's going to try to get in and take away your peace. Yeah, that's going to happen sometimes, but it doesn't have to be the norm. See, so many Christ followers live in a home that never has peace, and actually peace is the abnormal, rather than peace being the norm. And so what I wanted to do today was try to find some scriptures and give us all some help so that we can have peace in our home, and it's a normal thing. And when there's peace that's not in our home, that's the abnormal. And so what I want to do is I want to read you this passage, and I'm going to draw out from it 7 points that you're going to have to do if you want to have peace in your home. Then I'm going to ask you to do something. But first, let me read the passage, and then we'll go from there, okay? It's in Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 21. Therefore, as God's chosen people. Can I just stop? You're God's chosen people. The Jews, not God's chosen people. Yeah, you're God's chosen people. And he says, because you are God's chosen people, then all this will work for you. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Here we go. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. I need you to say that back to me. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Good. You see, we let this happen. This doesn't just happen. It's not going to happen just because you come to church. It's not just going to happen because you pray it. There's some things that you have to let happen in your home. Now, I want you to say that again to me, but I want you to say it this time, let the peace of Christ rule in my heart. Would you say that back to me? Let the peace of Christ rule in my heart. Since as members of one body, you were called to peace. One of the reasons that you were saved, one of the reasons for the blood of Jesus Christ is so that you can be called to peace, so that you can have a life of peace, live in peace. And be thankful, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. And as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God, and whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting to the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything. I'm sorry, guys. Just doing the word of God here. I'm just the mailman. I don't get to pick it out. I just get to deliver it. Children and parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not embitter your children, or they will become discouraged. Isn't that a great passage for a home? How would you like for this to be the passage that operated your home? See, wouldn't it be great? And you see, and he says there, he says, let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. All of these wonderful things that he talks about here about peace are centered around the peace of Christ ruling in your heart. Let me say it another way. What all of these wonderful things are concerning here produces a fruit that's called the peace of Christ ruling in your heart. In other words, if you will do what he says do in this passage, then the peace of Christ will rule in your heart and in your children's heart and in your spouse's heart. And you will have a home of peace, and all of these things will happen for you. You won't have to have a dysfunctional home and a home where peace seldom is there. What you're going to have is a home where there's always peace, and the absence of peace is the abnormal. So this is what we're going to talk about. It's the peace of Christ ruling in your heart is a fruit from these things happening. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to draw out seven principles from that passage that I read to you. And I'm going to ask you to do something for me. I want you to grade your home. Now, on each one of these principles that I'm going to give to you, I want you to give yourself a plus one or a minus one. And then that way you will have a peace point. You take a peace point and give you a peace level. And you can see what level your home is, and then you'll see what you can work on or what you need to work on to bring peace to your home. You'll find out if you're in the negative or if you're in the positive. We all begin on ground zero, and then we build or we deduct from there. All right, let's get started. Is that okay with you? Oh, let me do one more thing. How about husbands and wives do it separately? And here's why. Because we're going to get into wives submit to your husband. And husbands, don't be harsh with your wives. And we're going to get into these things. So I would like for you maybe to have something to talk about this afternoon. And I think this would be a... yeah. So, I do it separately. Let's see how it comes out. All right, number one, here's the first one. Clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Clothe yourselves. Something you do. You don't just pray this and it happens. This is something you do. I remember reading a story about two siblings, a little boy and a little girl. And the little boy had instigated a fuss between he and his sister. And they were fussing and arguing back and forth. Well, the mother was overseeing, and she had seen the entire situation transpire. And so what she did is she went straight to the problem. She didn't address the argument. She didn't address the thing they were fussing about. She went straight to the problem, which was the little boy's heart. And here's what she said. It's so cool. She says, fix your heart. You see, when we get into situations in a home situation, there's a heart problem somewhere. And we can address the problem all we want to, but it never gets right because we've never fixed the heart. You see, it's a heart issue. Peace that rules in your heart has to be in your heart. And if there's absence of peace, then somebody's heart's wrong. It says there, clothe yourself with. It says, and what it means is put this on. See, when you lose your peace, what you've done is you've revealed your heart, you've unclothed your heart, you've taken off Christ, and now what is being seen is you. What is being seen is your anger. What is being seen is your madness. And what is being seen is all the stuff that you are. When you put this on, what we're seeing is Christ. We're clothing ourselves with something far superior. And we're clothing ourselves with peace. The peace of Christ rules our heart. So what I have to ask you is, in your home, in your situation, how is it? Are these things present in your home? Are these things there? These things like compassion. Is your home a home of compassion? Do you have compassion one for another? Is it a place of kindness? Are brothers and sisters kind to one another? Are children kind to the parents and parents? Is there kindness going on? Is there humility? What humility simply means is putting somebody else above you, before you. Listen, you got to understand, you're not always the one. There are other people living in this house, and sometimes they need to come before you come. No matter who you are, if you're dad or mom or whomever, what you got to understand is there's sometimes when others have to... Are you a person of humility? Is that in your home? Are you a person of gentleness? How about patience? You see, are these things in your home? If they're in your home, then you're off to a very good start of having the peace of Christ ruling in your heart. Do you have these qualities in your home? Do you have a plus one or a minus one? Give yourself a plus one or a minus one. Is this something that happens in your home? Number two, what's another one? Number two, it says, bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive, here's how we forgive. Forgive how? As, talk to me. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. I read a story. These two college buddies, and they were alumni, and they were together at a business meeting, at a business function, at some kind of gathering, and they met up. And they hadn't seen each other for years and years. And so after the meetings were all over, they sat around in the lobby and they talked until the early morning hours. Now, they had called their wives and told their wives where they were and what they were doing. But still, it was like 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning before they finally got back to their rooms. And so the next morning, they met up again for breakfast. And one asked the other, he said, how was your wife about you coming in so late last night? And he said, well, she got historical on me. He says, excuse me, you mean hysterical, right? And he says, no, she got historical. She gave me a history lesson on everything that I ever did wrong. And that's what happens a lot of times in marriages is that a husband or a wife will get historical on their mate. And they will start reminding them every time something comes up, every time something goes wrong, they'll start giving them a history lesson about everything that's happened. Listen, if you do that, you will never have peace in your home. What you've got to do is forgive as Christ forgave you. Now, you don't forget it. You won't ever really forget it. But you can't be beating each other with these things just because we messed up or she messed up or he messed up or a kid messed up. We can't keep beating them all the time. Now, parents, let me give you this point. Make sure you understand what I'm trying to say here. You don't just stick your head in the sand and act like it didn't happen before, but if it continues to happen. If it happens with your child and it continues to happen with the child, yeah, you're going to have to bring them back to remembrance. but you don't keep beating them with it. You got to somewhere come along the way where you're hoping and praying and believing that they're going to go on and they're not going to stay hung up in this particular lesson. But we can't keep giving each other history lessons and telling them how they messed up year ago or last time or whatever. Because if you do, you'll never have peace. We must be forgiving as we were forgiven by God. How you do on that one? Is your home a historical site? Do you forgive? Give yourself a plus one or a minus one on that one. Number three, he says, teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. He's talking here about the Word of God. Teaching from the Word of God. Teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. And as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. Now that sounds like having a little church in your home, right? Doesn't it? Kind of sounds like that. Let me tell you something. Your home, not this church, should be the primary place that your children and you are taught the things of God, where you're taught the Word of God, where you're taught about music, where you're taught about gratitude. Your home, not the church, you, not me, are responsible for teaching yourselves and your spouses and your children the things of God. I help, I'll enforce it, but it's your responsibility. These things should basically happen in the home. Now, let me kind of give you some insights here. Let me show you something, what I'm trying to say. When you talk to your children about the music they listen to, what kind of a response do you get? Do they blow you off or maybe, what do they do? What do they do when you try to talk to them? See, music is spiritual. Now, it's just noise. No, it's spiritual noise. And it goes inside of your child. It goes inside of you. And it gets into your soul. And what you need to be able to do is talk to your child about the music they listen. And now, if you're not talking about it, and if they're blowing you off, let's go to another one. How about when you talk to them about the things of God, the Word of God? You try to instruct them about some things, some principles in the Word of God. You try to teach them according to the Word of God and give them wisdom. And how do they respond? Do they blow you off again? You're just an old fogey? You're times? Is that what they do to you? What about gratitude? Are they grateful to you? Do they appreciate you being their parent? Do they appreciate you, Dad, for working hard and trying to have them a home and a place to live and a car to drive? Do they appreciate it? How do they respond to you? How do they respond? Are they grateful people? Are they grateful to their siblings? Are they grateful to the mom, to the dad? Are they grateful to adults or to other people? Or are they so selfish? You see, if they blow you off when you try to teach them the Word of God, if they blow you off when you try to talk to them about music, and if you blow them off when you try to tell them about being grateful and having gratitude, you got a time bomb ticking. And you can believe me or not, but that thing's about to explode. And when it explodes, it's going to be all hell's going to break loose in your home and everything's going to be shattered. There's not going to be any peace. You can kind of get a good judge here about your home by those three things. How do they respond to you talking to them about the Word of God? How do they respond to you about music? And how do they respond to you when you talk to them about being grateful? You got a time bomb ticking if they won't listen to you. And it's going to blow up. There's an interesting passage in the Scriptures. I'm going to work on this one next week for Father's Day. But this is so interesting to me. It's in 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 9 through 10. Here's what it says. She said to her husband, "I know this man who often comes our way is a holy man of God. Let's make him a small room on the roof and put in it a bed and a table and a chair and a lamp for him. Then he can stay there whenever he comes to us." This elderly couple, this man and woman, made a small room for the spiritual. If you will, they made a little church in their home. And what's so interesting when you read the passage, and I'm going to get into it next week a whole lot deeper than I can right now, of course. But when you read that passage, they didn't have any children. She was barren. And from that room was prophesied her child. From that room came the word of the Lord that says, this time next year, you're going to have a baby. And then she did. That time next year, she had a son. She had a baby. And interestingly, as you continue with the story, you find out that that child became very ill and died. And she took that baby and put him in that room, in that bed. And God raised that child from the dead in that room. Now, how important is having a little church in your home, having a place where you can talk about the things of God, the Word of God, the Psalms of God, those wonderful things and gratitude and those. See, it was in that room. Here's what I'm trying to relate to you. If you have a place in your home, you make a place in your home where you can train your children up in the way they should go, then what's going to happen to that child is they're going to have a spiritual birth. And what's going to happen to them is God's going to raise them up from the dead when death and all kinds of destruction comes against them. He's going to resurrect them out of the death of sin in their life, and he's going to raise them up and so that they can have a good life. Now, what I'm wanting you to see today is if you don't have a place, a home, if you're not in your home able to have psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and talk about the things of God and your children aren't grateful, listen, you got a problem. And it's going to explode. It's a time bomb ticking. So how are you in your home? Can you talk to your children about these things? How is it when you talk to your spouse about these things? Is it a place of peace? Give yourself a plus one or a minus one. Let's look at another one. It says number four, wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Now, women hate this one. Most women hate this one. And there's a reason they hate it. It's because there is no peace in their homes. Of all the women that I know that really dislike this passage in this particular verse, they don't have peace in their homes. I'm thinking of one lady who really dislikes this verse. And she'll tell you right now that she does not like this verse. Anyway, the reason is because her home was one of the most chaotic, the most angry, the most homes where there was no environment at all to nurture the fruit of peace that rules in your heart. It could never grow there because everything was in a rage all the time. The peace in this home was so abnormal. The normal was the absence of peace. Normal was everybody on eggshells. Normal was yelling and screaming. That was the norm. And so what we've got to see here is that husbands, if you really want your wife to submit to you as, and let me say it this way, as unto the Lord, not as unto you. Let me read it to you again. It says, wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Not as is fitting to you. Do you hear me? If you want your wife to submit to you as is fitting in the Lord, then what you've got to do is what we're talking about here today. You have got to implement these things in your home. You have got to work on these things. It's got to be a home where there's compassion and kindness and humility. It's got to be a home where there's a little church. It's got to be a place of forgiveness. It's got to be a place where these things are able to function and to happen in your home. It's got to be. It's got to be. Or you'll never have a wife who really wants to be around you, who really wants to submit herself to you. So how are you there? How are you there? You see why I'm having you husbands and wives do it on a separate piece of paper? I think that's the best way of doing it. Because you may think that she is, and she may think that she is, or you may think that she's not. But anyway, it'll come out. Now let's look at another one. How are you doing? Give yourself a plus or a minus. Number five, husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Isn't it interesting that we men have to be told not to be harsh, mean to our wives? Husbands, you'll never have peace in your home if you're harsh with your wife. Now, I know that's a real revelation. But if you're angry with her and upset with her, let me tell you what's happening. She's planning her escape. Now, you may not be aware of it. You may think that everything's okay. But she's planning her escape. And you're going to look around one day and she's going to be raptured. Color her gone. Because she's not going to stay there. She's not going to live in that. And if you really want it, to submit to you, then what you've got to do is you've got to love her. Not be harsh with her. Now, before I move on from this point, wives, help us a little bit here. It's a whole lot easier for us not to be harsh with you if you'll stop nagging us. It's very difficult not to get a little aggravated when you're nagging. So don't nag us. You know, tell us occasionally that we need to do something and remind us, but don't nag us. And another thing, find something to commend us for. There's something we do right. Surely he can tie his shoes straight or something. There's got to be something that he does. Find something to commend him. We need your commendation. We need you to build us up. There's something inside of us that desires that. We need you to do that. And if you will do that for us, then it's a whole lot easier not to be harsh. So help us there. Okay, how you doing in your home on that one? Do husbands love their wives? Do they? Are they harsh with them? Give yourself a point. Or take away a point. Let's do another one. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Oh, guys, hear this one. This pleases the Lord. Children dislike this one like the husbands like the previous ones and the wives dislike the previous ones. But if you do these things, you're going to have peace in your home. Children, here's how it works. Now, you got to take me on this one. You got to take my word on this one. I was a child. I was a parent. And now I'm a grandparent. So I've got this thing kind of figured out on this one. Here's the way it works. If you obey your parents, what happens is over a period of time, you develop a trust. They begin to trust you. You're where you were supposed to be. You were home when you were supposed to be home. You did what you said you were going to do. And you have what I'll call a freedom circle, a circle of freedom. And the more you obey, the bigger the circle gets. Right? You can have anything. Your parent will get you anything. And even if they cannot, it so pleases God that He will. You see, it pleases the Lord. And if you really need something or want something and the parents can't supply it for you, God will get it for you. But you got to obey your parents. And the circle gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And the freedom, they'll get you anything. They'll let you go anywhere you want to go nearly. They'll let you do anything you want to do nearly. Because they can trust you. You're obedient. You've obeyed them. Now, I want you to see this. I want you to understand this. This is how this thing works. It gets bigger and bigger and bigger. But if you disobey, what happens? You call it restriction. You call it being what? Grounded. And you can't get anything from them. They're not good parents if they give you stuff and you're not obeying them. Now, parents, let me do something here. Listen, I've said some things about. I'll get on the next one. But anyway, children, obey your parents. How are you? How's your home? Do your children obey you? Are they obedient children? How are they? You see, this may be an area of your home that you really need to work on. So you can have peace. And any parent in here will tell you really fast, really quickly, if children obey their parents, how much peace does that bring to a home? Oh, my goodness, right? Biggie. Okay, give yourself a plus or a minus on children obeying. Number seven, last one. Fathers, do not embitter your children. Fathers, do not embitter your children, or they will become discouraged. I thought that was a interesting thought, or they will become discouraged. And so I looked it up in another translation. This is the New Living Translation. In Colossians 3:21, it says, "Fathers, don't aggravate your children. If you do, they will become discouraged." Now look at this, "and quit trying." Now, I'm coming at this, of course, from the father's perspective, because it's fathers don't do this. But I want you to know that moms do this too. This isn't just something dads do. Moms do this too. Moms embitter their children. Moms come home all angry and all upset. See, what? Here's how this thing works. We come home, parents come home, we're tired, we want a little peace, we want a little quiet, and the kids are being kids, and they're noisy, and they're rowdy, and so we start yelling, and we start screaming. And then the next day, it's kind of the same deal all over again. Maybe they're disobedient, did something wrong. We come home, we gotta beat the kid. You're supposed to laugh. Laugh at that. Laugh at that. we got to discipline the kid. And so again, and then the next day something else happens, and we get upset again, and we yell and we scream at the child again. And this happens consistently. And all they ever see then is this thing happening. You don't appreciate the good I do. All you see is the bad I do. And you're always yelling at me. You're always screaming at me. You're always disciplining me. You see, what we do is, and especially dads, is we get so into what we want to do, we don't cut out time for our children. And when we do get a little time, we want to do what we want to do and not have humility and do something with the kids. And so they never feel appreciated. They only feel like we're only yelling them all the time. We're only disciplining them all the time. And so what they do is this wall of embitterment gets between us, and it gets thicker and thicker and thicker over time. And as it gets thicker and thicker and thicker, they come to a place of being discouraged, and they say, "Well, she's just going to yell at me anyway, so I'm going to quit trying. I'm going to quit trying to make them happy. I'm going to quit trying to do what they ask me to do. I'm going to quit trying." And they do. And now you've got another system thing going on. You've got another point of contingency happening in your home. And now they're in real rebellion. You see, the only thing that'll fix it is when we give them time. Time is what took it away from us. Only our giving back time to them will fix it. Let me show you this. The scriptures kind of lean to this thought. In the King James Version, it says, it uses the term provoke them not to wrath. And then in the New International Version, it says, don't embitter them. We read that one. And the New Living Translation, it says, don't aggravate them. See, these are things that take place over time. Time. And the only thing, dad, mom, that's going to fix that problem is your time. Is your time. You got to find some time for your children. If you don't want that in bitterness, and you don't want them to be, because if you give them time, they'll try to do what you ask them to do. They'll want to be obedient. My children wanted to please me. And they want to, if you'll just find the time for them. How you doing there? And that's just not a dad thing there. I think moms embitter them too. How you do? Go ahead and grade yourself. Plus one. Minus one. So how's your home? How's your peace points? Are you in the negative or the positive? Is your home a place of constant peace where the lack of peace is the abnormal? Or is your home a place of constant removal of peace and constant chaos and constant turmoil where peace is the seldom? I've given you some points, and if you'll take these points and implement them, you're going to have a home where peace rules in the hearts of people. See, peace is an aspect of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is not meat nor drink, but it is righteousness and peace and joy. And if you're not having peace, you're not in the kingdom. And what God wants us to do is we're called to peace. He wants us to have a home full of peace. I want to close with this verse. It's in Proverbs 17:1. It says, "Better a dry crust with peace and quiet than a house full of feasting with strife." What does that mean? It means it's so much better to have a little and have a family and have peace than it is to have a lot of money, have a lot of things, and have strife. How's your home? How's your home? We all start at ground zero, and then we either add or take away. As we talked about last week, peace depends on you. And if you want peace, and if you'll do these things, you'll have a home where peace is the thing that rules your home. Let's stand. Did you get this today? Is it all right? You agree with it? Except the husbands, love your wives and the wives. Father, Lord, I just ask you that we'll have a church full of peaceful homes. It is better. It is better to not have everything and have peace than it is to have a lot and have strife. Father, I pray for every father and mother and child here. And Lord, I ask you that, as we said earlier, that the peace of Christ will rule in our hearts and that we'll clothe ourselves with peace. We'll put these things on. We'll forgive. We'll have a home that has a little church in it. I pray, Lord God, that wives will desire to submit to their husbands because the husband has provided a peaceful place, and that the husbands will love their wives and not be harsh with them, and that the children will obey their parents in everything, and that the parents won't cause the children to be embittered. And Lord, I pray that every home can have peace, peace that passes understanding, a home where peace is the constant and not the abnormal. So Lord, I ask you to bless us now. Heads bowed, eyes closed. This is your desire for your home. You want a home of peace. And you're going to ask the Lord to help you do some of these things that we've talked about today. If that's you, would you just look your hand up? Encourage me. I see your hands everywhere. Yes, thank you, Jesus. Father, now do it. You saw them desire it. And I ask you to do it in Jesus' name. Amen. Do you give the Lord a hand, clap and a shout? Amen. Hallelujah. God bless you. It's been a great day. Dedication and everything. You're dismissed. God bless you.